Morning. Good morning, everyone. We're very blessed to be here. My wife Toshko and our family. I want to have our kids stand up. I'm missing one. He might be under a chair, but I want to introduce my wife Toshko and my daughter, oldest Elena, and second one is Malaya. Third is Eli, our son, and fourth is Evan. And he's Evan is four, and he might be under a chair, but. Yeah, we're very blessed to be here, and our partnership with this church, Christ Community, goes back many years. So Toshko and I were married in 2002, it was very shortly after that that we had an opportunity to come speak here, and it was actually a friend of ours at the time. He was scheduled to speak here but had a family emergency and said, hey, could you speak at this church up in Granite Falls? I was like, sure. Sorry, this mic might not be made for my for my ear, but I'll do my best here. And so that was 2004, 2003 or 2004. So we go back a long way, and we've Dustin is pointing to me. Should I use another mic? Oh, okay. All right, I got to turn off my internet here. So how many of you wish you were born at a different time or live in a different place? Anyone? Yeah. So I'm thinking, like, I want to encourage us today with a little bit of scripture to let this sink in, that as far as we're concerned, I believe that we are born and we are living at the greatest time in the history of the world. That might be hard to believe, but I believe that's true, and I believe Scripture teaches that. And but I kind of sometimes think about what life would be like here, maybe 100 years ago, 150 years ago, the gold rush, maybe here in Granite Falls, the granite rush. Apparently there was waterfalls of granite. The granite was just tumbling down. So there was money to be made out here. What if you were on the front end of that, and you could be a granite dealer, and you would have been the front end of that, and you'd be so well off today. It'd be amazing. I think for me, I'd like to go back to the 80s. That was my childhood. It was the 80s. And my family lately, my kids have been introduced to, speaking of the 80s, been introduced to the movies, Back to the Future. And so I'm watching this movie. I think I hadn't seen it since it came out in 85, I think. And, you know, they went back in time 30 years to 1955. And then they also went into the future 30 years, to many of you know, to 2015. Because on Facebook that was making the rounds. Oh, we're getting to that time. And it's interesting to see their depiction of what the future would be like versus what it actually was. And these are very trying times in our world, but I do believe that we're living in the best times. Acts 17. Acts 17, verses 26 to 27, have been really a passage of scripture that has blessed my life. It's propelled me into ministry to international students, and the Lord continues to teach me from it. And if I could paraphrase it, it says, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking at the Areopagus to a bunch of Greek philosophers, and he says, this one God, this unknown God, I'm going to proclaim to you. From one man, we know as Adam, he made all nations of men, and he determined the times and places for them to live. God did this so that men would perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And so God engineered the time and place for us to be born and for us to live, because he has a plan for our lives. And he wants to, first of all, he wants us to know him, and then he wants to use us in his kingdom, his kingdom purposes. And so I have to remind myself of that from time to time. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, this is the time that God has for me. on this earth. And I want to make the most of it. And Lord, I want you to use me. And so let that be an encouragement to you this morning. Because I'm mostly going to go through what's happening in our ministry lately. It's kind of an update. And also, I want to encourage you. Usually when I speak at a church, there's a college campus nearby. And I think maybe the closest campus might be Western from here. Or is there a campus? Everett Community College. Yeah, there's Everett Community College. So you may feel like, oh, well, you know, usually I encourage congregations to become host families, something like this. And you think, well, we're living too far away. What can we do? But many of the things that we do with international students are remarkably unremarkable. They're glamorously unglamorous, just ways of serving, building friendships, connecting. So keep some of these things in mind as I share this morning. Here's my family. And that is, may not be able to see it very clearly, which is probably better that you can't, but that's the gum wall. Some of you know that. That's downtown Seattle on a previous visit. So what's happening? What's happening in our ministry? We serve at the University of Oregon, as has been mentioned, the Ducks. And this is a list of some of the things that we're doing presently, and I'll touch on this morning. One of the things that we've had going for a long, long time is an international lunch. It's on Wednesdays. It's a place for volunteers and other ministries to come and meet international students, build friendships. We have a shopping shuttle on Wednesday nights to find cheaper groceries because the shopping options close to campus are pretty expensive. So for those who don't have cars, we offer to take them across town. We have a partnership with a Chinese church, so there's ministry to Chinese students. There's Muslim ministry, and there's some exciting things that are happening among the Muslim community in Eugene that we're a part of to relationships and things I want to touch on. Japanese ministry. Our regular church, where we would be this morning, is Eugene Japanese Baptist Church. It's a very small church. Japanese pastor, in fact. And so that's where we're fellowshipping. And there's, of course, some overlap there with Japanese international students we reach out to on campus. Our ministry offers leadership conferences, leadership training kinds of offerings during the school breaks. And then I'm doing one-on-one meetings with students on campus, and then new contacts, I'll talk about that also. This is a picture of the Wednesday lunch. And this has been going on. Our ministry has facilitated it and coordinated the church involvement at this Wednesday lunch for close to 40 years. So, of course, precedes me. I'm a newly minted 43-year-old as of 2 days ago, but I was still sucking my thumb when this ministry started. So it's a free lunch for international students. And the food is provided every Wednesday by a different church, and the church volunteers who are available midday Wednesday come and mix it up with students as well as a number of other ministries, and it's kind of a fishing pond, you might say, where we can interact, and there's a lot of partnership with other ministries and churches, and that's a great blessing that we could hold. It's kind of networking, right? We can hold the net together and minister to international students in this way. So students from, it used to be mostly Asian students, China, Japan, Korea, and more recently there have been some Central and South American students, and students from all over the place. Many, many Chinese still. Chinese are the largest group of international students in the U.S. at the moment, and we see that for sure. So we have a new church partnership. Harvest International has come into the mix because we had a Wednesday that was needed to be covered. And the other thing about this meeting is it takes place basically in a Christian fraternity house. And in years past, the students in the house haven't been so involved. But the point person for the lunch now graduated out of the house, and he's tighter with the guys in the house, and there's more vision being cast, and they're seeing the need, and they're seeing the... They've also, some of the students in the house have had a conversation partner that's really blossomed their relationships into the international student world. I think there's a lot of, it can be intimidating for students. I don't know their culture. I don't want to offend them because I don't understand their English or something like this. This guy keeps staring at me, and I wanted to just remark on him. One of the things that's happening is international students are coming from different countries, but they're not purely ethnically of the ethnicity of those countries sometimes. So this guy here is from Venezuela, but his heritage is Lebanese. So there's a lot of this kind of thing happening that's mind-blowing. But he is visiting Lebanon this summer. He has some kind of an internship. And yeah, like I mentioned, it's a great place for meeting. Oh, I was seeing that slide on my computer. Sorry, I'm a slide ahead of you. So that was... this is a picture of the Chinese ministry. This picture might take some explaining. That's my wife in the foreground. It looks like a drinking party. It's not really a drinking party. This is a baby shower for their college pastor. And they're drinking out of baby bottles. And I think you won, didn't you? You didn't win that one. Okay. So Chinese ministry, our partnership with the Chinese church is a really good partnership. They have a shared heart for ministry and outreach to students. On Friday nights, they have a gathering that's a pretty vibrant meeting of college students, and their church is located on the edge of campus. So my colleague and I and another man facilitate an English Bible study. So we'll get Chinese students who want to improve their English, or they may be interested or not interested in Bible, but just improving their English. So we'll offer a Bible study in English. And then there's also the children's ministry. Since we've become such a part of the church on Friday nights, there's a lot of kids that come. So they've folded our family into taking responsibility for the kids' Friday night lessons. And so we've gotten to know a lot of the Chinese kids, and they've become very dear to us. This is the grocery shuttle. These are the flyers that we hand out. Dan Smith is my coworker. So we joke sometimes, in order to be on ISI staff, you have to have Dan in your name, because there's many Dans in our organization for some strange reason. And you've got a Pastor Dan. It's a good sign. Yeah. It's a good sign. So this has been a great blessing. This is not the van we use. This is the A-Team's van. Another 80s reference. But many nationalities are coming. So in the vans, we're bringing students from Bangladesh and from Pakistan and from China, of course, and many different places. So we pick them up at their graduate student housing and take them to Winco, take them to Walmart, which is not really close to campus. There's regular relationships that are developing. This is a tangible way of serving. Next, we have a Muslim ministry. So some interesting things are happening in the Muslim, in our ministry to Muslims. You know, every time some kind of terrorist attack thing happens, the Muslims on campus, Muslim students on campus, understandably feel really anxious and nervous. And they're also very responsive to us reaching out in friendship to them, because they're eager to explain how they're different from those people, right? How they tell us that's not Islam. You know, we're peaceful people, it's a peaceful religion. So we can capitalize on those opportunities to build relationships, because they're very much eager to explain how they're different. And they're really, really hungry for relationships with your everyday American, and especially with us, with believers. And you'd be surprised, there is a lot of common ground between what they believe and what we as Christians believe, and you can build from that. And they don't, it's not a perfect overlap, of course, but they do have a fear of God in their version. They fear Allah. But that fear of God really does guide their lives. And for that, I have a lot of respect for them, because they're always thinking, God is watching me, God is watching me. Now, their God is a very different conception of God from the Christian God, and that's the wonderful opportunity that we have to share that with them, and how we live our lives, and the love that we enjoy. So, some interesting things that are happening on campus related to this whole thing is the Jewish student group got a grant to improve Muslim-Jewish relations on campus. And so the Hillel group on campus has been doing gatherings where the leaders of the Muslim Student Association and the leaders of Jewish clubs come together and they discuss different things. And my coworker and I are attending these things, and they often ask us, or sometimes they give us a platform as well to share the Christian perspective. So they had a thing on Muslim dating and Jewish dating and courtship, things like this. So not just that, but then those things have blossomed into a Christian-Muslim discussion. So like I shared earlier, they often want to provide opportunities for them for Muslims to correct our misconceptions about Islam. And we told them, hey, look, there's a lot of misconceptions about Christians as well, especially among Muslims when they first come over. There's things that they believe that we believe that are very, very strange, and we would not agree to at all. They're heretical at best, that Mary is part of the Trinity, and all kinds of things like this, that we worship three gods. After the Paris attacks last November, there was a unity vigil that was actually sponsored by the university, and they invited different faith groups to have a part and to share some encouraging words. And so my coworker got to share from the Christian perspective, and he basically went through 1 Corinthians 13 about love, the nature of love. And it was a very moving time. I got to lead the singing Amazing Grace at the end to close out the thing. And things like this have really served to build bridges with Muslim students. And both of us, the Muslim students and our ministry, we're very clear about we don't worship the same God, and that's not what this is all about. It's not an ecumenical thing. Let's all hold hands and tell the world that we really worship the same God. We know that that's not true, and any Muslim would tell you that as well, unless they've been infected with a really bad liberalism where they believe that we worship the same God, but we don't. So we had a unity vigil, and that went very well. We invited a man who became a Christian from a Muslim background, from a Saudi Muslim background. And if you're a Saudi Muslim, you're the top of the chain in Islam. They're kind of like the authority on Islam. And so in their minds, a Saudi Christian is an oxymoron. It cannot exist. It's like a unicorn. We had a man come in, and this man is very sharp individual, and he consults with many ministries that are wanting to reach out to Muslims. And we had him come on campus and share his testimony. And just a very powerful time. And he gave some training as well to Christians in the community. So it was really, really good. And unfortunately, very few Muslims showed up. The ones that were closest with came. And I think there was 11 Muslims that we counted out of 100 and something people. The rest were Christians and unaffiliated, I suppose. But of those 11, they were from 7 different nations. And these were the ones that we most wanted to be there anyway. They're the leaders of their clubs. In fact, they told us we got in trouble because there was a leadership meeting for the MSA the Muslim Student Association at the same time. And so we don't think that was a coincidence, because we told them, you know, weeks in advance that we were doing this thing. But that went really well. They had their own guy, a very famous Muslim apologist named Shabir Ali. He came and spoke on campus. And we were praying against that meeting. We were praying that he would become a Christian before he came. We were praying that his presentation would be unintelligible. And I was out of town that weekend, but they put him in a room where the acoustics were really bad, so he was hard to hear. And then some of the Muslim students that we have relationships with, we asked them, what did you think of his talk? And they said, yeah, I didn't really understand what he was sharing. So that was an answer to prayer. So that was a great answer to prayer. But we're totally encouraging them to bring in such speakers, and we're having conversations on that level and talking to them about these things. So Shabir Ali, Christianity 101 is a seminar that we put on, again, mostly for Muslims. And that one was well attended. Ramadan dinner is the next slide I want to show you. So the month of Ramadan is a month of fasting for Muslims, and they fast only during daylight, but they don't drink water, they don't eat all day long. And then when the sun goes down, they feast and they pig out. And so you think that they might lose weight since they're fasting through that whole month, but actually most of them gain weight because they eat really late at night. And then they wake up super early to pray, and then they'll eat before the sun comes up. And Dan, my coworker, the church that he goes to gave money to each of their small groups to do some kind of outreach. And even though the church is very has done very, very little and is very inexperienced with Muslim ministry, Dan said, why don't we host a Ramadan dinner? And so with fear and trembling, the small group said, well, okay. So I was a part of that too, and we invited our Muslim student leader friends, and we encouraged them to extend the invitation to the local mosque. And the invitation that they gave to the mosque quoted the Prophet Muhammad, and it said, if someone invites you to break the fast during the month of Ramadan, you must go. And so it was kind of like, so says the Prophet kind of thing. And so we're like, what? Because that wasn't a part of our invitation. But we were overwhelmed. We had over 175 guests come to this event. And so this is a picture of it. We were just totally swamped. That's me in the background taking another picture of somebody else. But anyway, the whole room, we were just totally swamped. And in fact, the variety of international people that were in this room was probably more than I'd ever had in one room at one time that I'd ever experienced. So people who are here as immigrants, people who are here as visiting scholars and international students, they're from Libya, they're from India, they're from Pakistan, they're from, of course, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, everywhere from Libya. They're from all over the place. And so from that, again, this was right after the Orlando shooting. This was like 2 or 3 days after that. So their hearts were totally overflowing with thankfulness and gratefulness for what we had done. And it's going, these kinds of things are going a real long way in building friendships with Muslims, not just on campus, but also in our community and at the local mosque. So transitioning to Japanese ministry, the University of Oregon maybe has, I think, 80 to 90 nations represented in its international students. And Toshiko is from Japan originally. I did ministry in Japan for a year, so we kind of have had a natural affinity for Japanese students. And numbers of Japanese students have gone down a bit in recent years, but we still kind of have a heart for them. And they're kind of a totally different package, because they're typically undergraduate students. They're not at all interested in spiritual things. They want to have a good time. So that's kind of the character of Japanese students typically. But our Japanese pastor was connected to a ministry of a former Japanese gangster. So they're called Yakuza. These are the guys that cut their fingers off, you know, when they make a mistake. And this guy that we invited to campus, in fact, was missing both pinkies. So we had him come and share his testimony on campus. And that was a wonderful blessing. And many Japanese students who had just arrived went to hear him speak. And this was all totally new to them. Have you ever met a Japanese gangster, you know, this up close? No. Have you ever heard this message that he shared about knowing God through Jesus and Christianity? No. So totally blank slate in most cases, Japanese students. So there's a lot to build from, you know, things like this. And we can continue to have conversations. I call them conversations that count. We can continue to interact with them and share Christ with them in a variety of ways and love and serve them. So I mentioned that we're a part of the Japanese church, Japanese Baptist Church in Eugene. And I also mentioned how this other student, I'm trying to remember his name right now, from Venezuela, Jose is his name, how he's from Lebanon. I mean, he's from Venezuela, but his ethnicity and ethnic background is from Lebanon. There's a student who came with an exchange program from Japan. So he was raised in Japan, but he's Chinese. Both parents are Chinese. So he became a seeker for as long as he was with us. And he was only with us for 10 months. It's just a 10-month program. And so he was involved with a different campus ministry, but he would come on Friday nights to the Chinese church, and then he would come on Sunday mornings to the Japanese church. So he was getting fed in multiple languages. And then, of course, and the ministry he was a part of was in English. And so he ultimately came to know the Lord through our pastor and just through conversations and was baptized before he went back to Japan. And another really cool thing about his story is God was also working in his parents' lives back home in Japan. So his parents are business owners. And the Chinese church sent him some evangelistic materials in Chinese to send to his parents. And so they're visiting churches in Japan while he was here visiting churches and learning about Jesus. So that's a great blessing. And our daughters too, Elena and Malaya, were baptized on that day that he was baptized along with their best friend. Yeah, so that was a wonderful time. There's a Bible study, so I'm always wanting to start Bible studies with students. There's a Bible study that I had going with a Japanese guy at another Christian fraternity, but he was total, he's not even a seeker, really. He was kind of just indulging me to do Bible studies with him. But he would attentively listen, and for many, many weeks, we've laid out, especially the New Testament and the Gospels with him, helping him understand. And another interesting thing that is exciting to me is when I did ministry, it was many years ago, but I lived in Osaka, Japan for a year. And God is sending students to the U of O from some of the same campuses that I did ministry on many years ago. So I could tell them, oh, I've been on your campus. And they're like, what? No way. So it's a great blessing to have that connection. And there's a really wonderful church that I was a part of in Osaka that I can connect them to when they go back. And the other angle that I work on with Japanese students is if they could go to an international church, then they can continue using their English when they return home. Because some of them, if they return home to a vacuum of English, then it falls out of their, they just lose it. They lose it right away. So I encourage them to go to these churches that have, in many, many cases, free or very, very inexpensive English lessons. Yeah, so here's a picture of everyone that was baptized on that baptism Sunday. The student I mentioned is Sho. His name is Sho, and he's on the right. Yeah, and then a mother and son. And then Sarah is Elena's best friend. Transitioning to leadership offerings. So our ministry has recognized that students really respond well to opportunities to grow, to get an edge professionally. Many of them are business majors. But anything that we can do, and especially if they're from China, because the competition in China, or basically any Asian country, Japan, Korea as well, the competition is fierce. And so they are trying to do anything they can to get an edge. So we put together for the last several years now something called True Leadership Retreat. True stands for trust, relationships, understanding or wisdom, and excellence. And so on each of the days of these conferences, and they're meant to be really small, we have group exercises for them to do. And this is Christians and non-Christians. The Christian students who come, we coach them ahead of time to be like table facilitators. So they facilitate the discussions, and they try to be shepherds to the people in their groups. But this has gone pretty well, I think. And like I said, the students respond very well to leadership offerings, trainings, things like this. And this other thing here, this is Stephen. He's from Kenya. And this is Hikaru, and she's from Japan. And this is my coworker Dan's wife, Jan. This is something that took place on campus in a similar vein. So there's some business people, especially from Gresham, Oregon, Portland area, that either went to U of O or they went to OSU, and this is their way to give back to the university. They sponsor a meal. They sponsor a dinner. And then those of us who are in campus ministry, they connect with us and say, hey, invite some student leaders from a variety of different clubs to this event. And that's what we do. And it allows us to expand our influence as well, because we can connect with student leaders from clubs like the Latino Club or from some entrepreneur club that I might not otherwise have any connections with. And someone will give kind of a testimony. They'll talk about their business testimony, ups and downs, and the importance of being a person of principle and morals. And it's not meant to be a full-blown evangelistic speech, but they'll mention Jesus and their relationship with Jesus being important. Then they also have table hosts who make themselves available as mentors. So that ministry is called Mentors 360. And so these mentors will have more of an entree into the students' lives in many cases than I do. If they know I'm a campus minister, they might be guarded and might be bracing themselves against a potential spiritual conversation from me. But if I'm a business leader and I'm a successful business leader, I can sit across the table with the student, and they've got notepad, they might have a recorder going, and they're just really wanting to hear everything I have to share. And so they'll review their resume. Your resume looks good, and your club activity looks good, and yeah, these are the things you need to focus on for your field. How about your spiritual life? How about the spiritual side of your life? Because that's an important pillar in your life. How are you doing with that? And so they can have those conversations very easily. But for us, it does nevertheless expand our network and allows us to meet students we might not otherwise get to meet. So one-on-ones I mentioned. I spend a lot of time on campus, basically just being accessible to students. And there are... quite a few ministries and churches that are trying to reach out to not just college students, but also international students. And these are great partnerships. But the numbers of students that we're reaching is still just scratching the surface compared to the numbers of international students that are there. So I'm wanting to have these conversations that count with students who I bump into on campus when I'm in the student center or where I'm at a coffee shop or something like this. And oftentimes, really meaty conversations happen right there, where if I was to invite them to church right away, or even to a ministry function, they might be like, oh, I'm not into that. But I've got this question, or I've got this relationship problem, or something like this. My roommate, or my girlfriend, or something like this. And so it's a great privilege and a wonderful thing for me to do, to be able to connect with students on that level and in those venues. And this student here is, his name is Mohammed, and he was an art student from Saudi Arabia, which is also very, very rare. He went back for a visit one time, and he had art books for his classes, And in customs, they took his books and they said, wait a minute, there's naked women in these books. You can't bring these into the country. And he said, my country is paying for me to study art. These are my textbooks. And so they let him through. But he's now studying at Yale. So he's a graduate student in painting at Yale, which is a pretty big deal. And he has, I would say he's been a seeker for a number of years now, and I've really been blessed to, every time I meet with him, he's learning new things that I'm like, yes, 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 yes. You know, you're getting it. And so him and a group of his friends from Saudi Arabia, I would say, most accurately, they're transitioning out of Islam. They're becoming more and more disillusioned with Islam. And in fact, to the point that they could probably get in trouble with their level of discontentment with Islam if the right people were watching them or the wrong people were watching them. And they're attracted to Jesus, and they're watching Christian apologists in Arabic online who have these programs where they talk about, you know, Christianity and faith in Christ and things like this, and many testimonies from former Muslims. And one of my friends, there's three of these guys, and one of them says, Dan, I wish you understood Arabic so you could learn everything that I'm learning from these guys. And I'm like, I'm sure you're learning some great stuff. But so that's a great blessing, and I continue to be connected with him. And he comes back, this guy, Mohammed, comes back occasionally because he has a girlfriend whose parents also don't know about. He has a girlfriend in Eugene that he comes and visits on his breaks. So new contacts. These are some of the ways that we connect with international students. So there's a Friendship Foundation, which is a nonprofit, and it's there's an international student advisor who's in that official capacity for the U of O, and that advisor also wears this hat of this nonprofit, the Friendship Foundation, which coordinates host families and tries to get host families when students come in the fall. We've got the Wednesday lunch, which I mentioned. Coffee Hour is a student club, a non-Christian student club that meets every Friday and continues to have over 100 students every Friday during regular school. And so that's a great opportunity for us to, again, it's like a great place to go fishing and meeting students, inviting them to our activities. Toastmasters Club is something that I started just this last year. And that one was pretty funny because there's a Chinese student that I wanted to invite to this church-sponsored Tuesday night meeting. And it's one of the largest American Christian gatherings on campus. So I called him up and I said, hey, you want to come check out this thing with me on Tuesday night? And he said, oh, I can't make it on Tuesday because actually I go to a thing called Toastmasters. And I'd seen the sign for Toastmasters, and I said to myself, yeah, I'd like to go to that one day. It's a speech club, like a public speaking club. And but I'm just too intimidated. I don't want to show up and then they'll make me give a speech, and then I was just, I don't want to do that. So since I had a friend there, he says, I go to Toastmasters. I said, well, forget this other thing. I'm going to go with you to Toastmasters. So I went with him, and then I joined the club, and then so I've been really enjoying that. And I was also very much surprised. Probably half of the people who come to Toastmasters are international students. So imagine that, your second language. You're not only having to take classes in a second language, but these people are challenging themselves to get even further out of their comfort zone by learning to speak publicly, give speeches in English, in their second language. So I'm doubly impressed with these students. Many of them are very, very, very sharp individuals. So that was my son, Yanni, over there. He's heard this presentation maybe once before. Sorry, Evan. So another way that we connect with students is through host families of students. And there's one woman in particular, her name is Donna, and she's always talking to us about the latest drama in her students' lives, and she gets to know them very, very well, and we really, really value her input, and she, you know, she has kind of her finger on the pulse of what the students are doing and where they're partying and stuff like this, so these kinds of connections are really great, and so we can invite students of host families onto our events, things like this, hiking and sightseeing. Again, I mentioned the new students from Osaka, Japan. And there's more students that came just for the summer, just to study English. And so there's opportunities through the summer. So the whole school doesn't shut down. In fact, if anything, it's even better because all these other student clubs that have activities aren't doing anything in the summer. But we're finding that their classes keep them plenty busy. But in theory, anyway, it's even better in the summer because they don't have anything else competing. Other related things, there's an apologetics club. So this is made up of mostly Christian students from a Christian house. And it's an interest, a growing interest of mine, especially with some of the challenges in our culture. We really need to, as Christians, do our homework and provide answers to young people who have long since dismissed the church because they're not inspired by the answers that we're giving to them for some of the just the trends that we're seeing, whether it's gender fluidity or other things like this. So apologetics has become very an interest of mine. And so I meet with these students and I try to encourage them as well to connect with international students. And a couple of them have been conversation partners with international students. And so this guy on our right, Peter, he's one of the leaders and he'll be studying abroad in France this summer. So he's diversifying his experience. Toastmasters, I mentioned. And then there's a reading club that I joined that's on the topic of missions. I figured it would really help me focus to grow in the area of missions and my knowledge of missions and strategy and things like this. Excited to be a part of that. Here's some ways that you can pray for us. Pray for student leaders. They're the most winsome. They're the most attractive, really. I might look young, but I'm old enough to be the parents of these kids coming in, and I'm starting to feel the generation gap. So you could pray for some student leaders, especially American student leaders, that have a heart and that can be trained to reach out to international students. The family and ministry balance, that can be tricky. Sometimes it's hard to turn ministry off and be present for family. And sometimes I'm on campus and there's, you all know, there's things happening in ministry that can be, or in family that can be distracting. But fruitful summer ministry and productive support, supporter partnership cultivation and support raising trips. And then continuing education. This fall, I've been approved to start taking classes through Biola Seminary in the area of apologetics, which will ultimately culminate in a degree, a master's degree. I'm going to squeeze 2 years into 5 or 6. So you can pray for that. And yep, so here's a gathering at our house of just a few students. This guy in the middle is from the Czech Republic, and he had the opportunity to do a study abroad at Oxford this summer. So that's pretty amazing. There's Sho, Masaru, Kanako, and Biku. So yeah, thank you. We're really really blessed by your partnership, and you are blessing the nations through us, and we're very grateful. So thank you.